The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from The Movement.
Man, it really is so good to see you. Last week, I had the privilege of hanging out with a good friend of ours who planted a church just about an hour inland, and you were a part of making that church happen. They're about 10 months old, I believe, now, and man, just so cool to see what God's doing. A little over 250 people said yes to Jesus, and that's huge. Can we give a hand clap for that? That's awesome. And you need to know you were a part of that. So if you're here and you're faithful with your tithes and offerings, man, we are all about helping church planters plant because, man, that's what we are. We're a church plant, and you are part of it. So thank you so much for what you do. But I heard my wife killed it last week. Every time she preaches, man, I'm like, man, how am I supposed to follow up with that? So I intend to sing a couple songs and do a couple dances. And hopefully, if you like it, just throw money at me. Or you know, lattes are good, too. So, man, you made it to a great week. There's nothing like Thanksgiving. How many of you love the holiday, Thanksgiving? Man, it's so good. Not the whole thankful part, but eating good food part. And so, I'm kidding. Stop judging me, but you know it's kind of true. So anyways, we're excited about this. We're week four of an amazing series. And I don't know about you, but we've gotten probably more feedback on this series than any other series we've done. If you're new, a series is kind of like a book. So we'll take between 4 to 6 weeks to cover one topic. And if you miss one of the weeks, it's like missing a chapter or two. And so you're jumping in on chapter 4 of a 5-chapter book, which means you missed some stuff. So you're in luck because we have a podcast on our website, also available on smartphones. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the series, the sermons from the previous weeks. In week one, we talked about strongholds and how that's what that actually means, to the strongholds that we're in, the bags that we can carry that we don't need to carry, kind of like this video. Every time I watch that, I chuckle, and then I kind of on the inside, I go, man, I feel like that sometimes. The guy jogging through life with a bag on his back, taking a shower, brushing his teeth, it's just always there. And so many of us are going through life, and we're carrying bags that we don't have to carry. And as a result, we're compensating for that. It's affecting the way that we live and how we view our relationship with God, ourselves, and others. In week two, we talked about the baggage of guilt. Last week, Megan talked about the baggage that comes from relational scars and issues and rifts. And I want to challenge you, go back and listen to those, because today we're going to talk about that one bag, the bag that won't let go. The one that it just seems to always be there no matter what you're walking through or what you're facing. That bag that you just kind of seem to always see at your ankle as you're going through life, the one that's challenging. And for many of you, it can be different. For many of us, it's different. There's not a specific name on this bag. But, you know, there's so many of us, even in this room, we come to Christ. And in that moment or in a season, we experience God's grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. And it's like 95% of us begins this process of change. We realize there's some things, some habits, some relationships, some areas of our life that need to change. And we're really good about 95% of the way. But there's that 5% that seems to hang on and to linger. And it becomes such a challenge that it actually begins to shift who we are and how we relate to life. And today we want to talk about that bag, because you need to know this, that God did not intend for you to go through life with that bag. This isn't, hey, look at me in the eyes. This isn't as good as it gets. God has a plan for you for freedom. And I love what Paul said. Paul's one of my favorite authors. He wrote a few books in the Bible, and I love how he talked about this. We're going to read this. It's from Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I'm reading in the Amplified Version, and this is what he says. For I do not understand my own actions. Man, can I just tell you, I love the Bible. I mean, right off the bat, one of the apostles, the founders of the early church, he says, I don't understand my own actions. And for me, that's like, it brings peace. I've been a follower of Christ for many years now. I've been in ministry for 15 years, and there are still times that I just go, man, why do I keep doing this? And I love the fact that the Bible gets me. It doesn't say, hey, Carrie, you suck at life, and it will always be bad. I love the Bible. Paul says, I don't understand my own actions. I'm baffled and bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns. The bag that won't let go. I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a bottle of pills. Maybe it's a bottle of something different. Maybe it's something that you smoke. Maybe it's something that you click on that you shouldn't. Maybe it's how you eat. Maybe it's what you do after you eat. Maybe it's a gambling addiction. Maybe it's habitual lying. Maybe it's the issue of unforgiveness that's turned to bitterness. The bag that won't let go. We've tried 95%. We feel like we're so close, but there's that one thing that just won't let go. So how do we recognize it? How do we recognize the things that won't let go? I kind of call this a cycle of destruction. The cycle of destruction. That 5%, that one bag that won't let go, it becomes a part of my identity. That's the first step. It becomes a part of my identity. Not just a problem, but this is just who I am. My dad always struggled with anger. His dad struggled with anger, and it's just who I am. Well, I've just always had a thing for the ladies, and I just can't seem to get past that. It becomes part of my identity. I begin to think this is just as good as it's going to get. And you know, there are support groups that would help us walk through some of these challenges. And I want to say something. I just take a moment. Let me give a little disclaimer. I'm about to make a statement, and I don't want you to think that I'm discrediting some of these organizations that are helping people really walk through some serious addictions. But just for a moment, there's one thing I'm not a fan of, and I understand why they do it. But there's an organization that you go there for support, and the first thing you have to say is, "Hi, my name is Carrie, and I am a blank." And you assign this title, and it becomes a part of my identity. Even though I've been sober for 14 years, I'm still an alcoholic. It's just who I am. And I understand why they do. We have to acknowledge first that there is a problem. And I'm not discrediting that organization, but I want to tell you that just because you place a label on yourself does not mean that Jesus has. And it does not have to become a part of your identity, but this tends to be the first step. The second one is that I feel increasingly hopeless. I've tried for years, Pastor. I just can't seem to get rid of this one bag. And you know what? Some of you in this room, look at me in the eyes, some of you in this room, as I began to talk about it, and you identified, you did, because we're not dumb. We kind of figure out where we're going with this, and you identified what that bag is, and you said, "Oh man, Pastor, are you done yet? Can we just finish up? I'd rather get to lunch." I've read some books, I've been to prayer meetings, I've talked to my wife, has told me about 100 million times, but I just can't get over this thing. I can't get over this thing. I feel increasingly hopeless. The next step. So I become defensive. I begin to defend this issue. I don't have a problem. I can quit anytime. It's not really an issue. It's that person over there. I begin to be or become defensive. You don't know what I've been through, Pastor. If you knew, then you wouldn't be saying these things. Second step is I become a slave. I start to allow this bag to dictate how I live my life. I've become a slave to a bag that I was never meant to carry. The fifth step is I begin to lose my life. The dreams, the hopes, look me in the eyes, and even the promises of God that you may have read in the scripture. Maybe somebody told you, or maybe just on the inside at one point you believed it so strongly. This bag, after this cycle of destruction continues, I just begin to lose my life. I lose sight of the dreams and the hopes and the promises of God. Pastor Carrie, the pages have already been written in the chapters of my life, and this is it. I'll just live my life like this video, carrying this bag, and this has become my new normal. This has become my new normal. But I love what Paul says. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 14, this is the Message translation. It says this: "That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. into God's way of doing things. Sin, listen to this, sin can't tell you how to live. Sin can't tell you how to live. Look at me in the eyes. That's the promise of God. We could shut it down now. That bag that you've been carrying, that you feel this is just the way it is. Nope. The promise of God for you today is that that bag cannot tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Now, some of us in this room, man, we're honest with ourselves and we can identify this is a problem. This is an issue. Some of us in this room, we still struggle with this thing. And we still struggle with this self-deception, which, by the way, is the greatest form of deception, is self-deception. We're good at believing our own lies. So I jotted down, I'm just going to read these out. How do I know if something actually masters me? Paul said, hey, you are not controlled. Sin cannot tell you how to live your life. So how do I know if something in my life, if that bag that won't let go, how do I know if it's mastering me? I wrote down some questions. They'll be on the screen. It's worth listening to and asking yourself. Number one, do my family and friends say that I have a problem? Your wife has come to you, or maybe your husband said something to you, a mom, a sister, a brother, a good friend. Hey, I just want to, can I just tell you, man, this is kind of an issue. And it doesn't have to be. Do I continue in this process even though I'm hurting people? Do I arrange my schedule around it? Can I go 1 week without it? Is it leading me to isolation? I think this last one is probably the most potent of these questions. Am I trying to keep it a secret? Am I trying to keep it a secret? What is the area of sin? If you said yes to two or three of these, then there probably is some bags that you're holding on to. Or that is hanging on saying, I'm not going to let go. You know, there's all kinds of studies and research. No matter what, it could be gambling, it could be an addiction, it could be lust. Struggling with the power of lust. I'm going to tell you, I've shared this story before, but some scientific research, that this might help bring some freedom for some, that kind of shows the days of the week that most men struggle with lust. They found that most men struggle with lust on days that begin with T, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Today and tomorrow and Tatterdays and Tundays. I just figured you needed a laugh. I don't like to tell cheesy pastor jokes. That's it. Check it off. We're good for the day. Tatterdays and Tundays. That's just a good one. So listen, guys. Hey, I know sometimes you may come in here and you might feel a weight. Look at me in the eyes. That weight that might feel like condemnation, that's not from God. That's not from God, but if it's conviction, if it's the power of the Holy Spirit at work saying, hey, he's talking to you and there's some things you need to change. There is no judgment from this stage. That is not the position that we hold at the Movement Church. We are simply here to say, hey, there might be a bag attached that it doesn't have to stay that way. So let's talk today. Can we do that for a few more moments and then we'll let you go. You can eat lunch and then just do get into a coma of turkey eating later on in the week. But hey, can I just tell you something? We would be remiss if we didn't go through things and topics like this. Because too many people, and look at me, I'm talking about Christ's followers. Too many people are walking through life having gotten rid of 95% of baggage, but there's one bag that won't let go. You're living in a position of bondage and you don't have to. God's plan for you is so much bigger than that. So how do we break free? How do we break free from this bag that won't seem to let go? I love the promise in 2 Corinthians 3:17. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. This is kind of like the girl's version. There's all kinds of adjectives added to this, and it's just so good sometimes. And listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. It'll be on the screens if you don't have your Bible. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I love this part. Emancipation from bondage. Freedom. Where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That portion where it says the Lord is the Spirit, in the original translation of that word Spirit, it really is translated, the word means pneuma, which just, it just means a breath of fresh air, a wind, a breath of fresh air. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is, just like to blow wind in the sails of your life. And let me just tell you that you cannot see or touch the wind, but you know it's there. And if you want to know what it is that we're doing at the Movement Church, we are not a self-help church. 17 steps to getting on the right direction with your life. No, absolutely not. We are a church that wants to help you encounter the presence of the true and living God every week. Hey, listen, that's why we exist. That's why we create atmospheres like a worship journey where we turn our attention and our focus not on the people playing instruments, but on the true and living God. And in that moment, man, God just begins to just kind of settle in and lean in. Why? Because the Bible promises that, hey, he inhabits the praises of his people. And I'm telling you, God can do in a moment through his Spirit what we can try and fail at for a lifetime. So you need to know, man, the Spirit of the Lord, where it is, there is freedom, first and foremost. This is not about you attaching to a theology that I present to you in this morning, in this moment. But my prayer and my hope is we talk about some steps that we can take, that you recognize that the foundation of that is the simple truth that when Jesus shows up, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Why do we sing a song? I'm taking a break from it. Man, don't come into this room and just sit still during a time of praise and worship. Just sing a song. There is no excuse. It's so loud, no one can hear you, and we don't want to hear you. The words on the screen, so you don't know. Listen, I don't know anything but the chorus of every song we sing. I promise you. The worship team gets so mad at me. I'm like, I don't need it. I'm just in worship. I want to listen. I want to look at the words and worship God. When we sing a song, I want to lift my hands. Until my hands reach heaven. I want to sing your praise. I don't even know the words right now. I'm trying. I don't care. It's an anthem that I go, man, God, I'm here. And I'm singing. I'm here. And I love you. I love you. I love you. And when that takes place, he just leans in, man. And he's like, hey, I've got enough for you. Man, I can sustain the things that you're walking through. Man, let me just bring some wind into the sails of your life. Let me just let you experience something that most people don't know. It's called the peace that passes all understanding. But Pastor Kerry, you don't know what I'm walking through. Finances in the trash can. Marriage in the trash can. My kids are going crazy. I hate my parents. Whatever it is. Man, in the moment of praise and worship, in a moment when Jesus shows up, he just comes in and breathes life. I'm just telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And you may have been in church services that got weird. That don't happen. Weird don't happen here. Man, it's weird. It's against the law to move the church. But man, Jesus can. He can do anything. So we're going to talk about three things you can do to get rid of that bag. But please listen to me. You can write a note down, save it in your phone, post it on Instagram, but it will not matter if you're not connected to Jesus. So let the Holy Spirit right now come in and do a work in your life. This is not in my notes, but somebody needs to hear that. Let the Holy Spirit come in and do a work in your life. It's Christ's mission for us. That's his mission for us, is to set us free. Galatians 5:1, I don't have time for this, but just the word, man, it's just so powerful. Galatians 5:1 says this, in this freedom, Christ has made us free. And completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery, which you have once put off. So how do I break free from this? Three things. Number one, can the excuses. And I grew up in Texas, and there are a couple things that are important in Texas, and it's in this order. Jesus, Cowboys, football, and food. Those are the four things that are important. Jesus, Cowboys, football, food. Family is number five. And so, man, when you are raised in Texas, you play football. It doesn't matter what sport you like, you play football. And so my dad and my older brother, who's 10 years older, said, man, we're going to teach you how to play football. We noticed at a young age, Kerry, you're extremely good looking and talented. And just, man, we just love to be around you. And so they would take me out, and we would go out in the neighborhood, and just in front of our home. And my brother would say, you don't go inside till you catch 10 passes in a row. You're going to run a post and a flag and an out and a button hook. Okay, ready? Hut. And I drop one. 7 in a row, drop one. We're doing it again till 10. Last one's always a bomb. You're going 40 yards and you don't drop this, Kerry. Then they would get about the distance of here to the other side of the stage. And you're going to think my parents are horrible and my brother's horrible, but it's a good thing. I'm on that side of the stage, about that far away, 7 to 8 years of age. And my dad and my brother said, we're going to throw the football at you as hard as we can. Because we're going to teach you not to be scared of the stinking football. I'm like, okay. And I'm standing over there, and they're like, boom, launching this football. Slap, slap my hands. And sometimes it missed and hit me in the face. But I learned that, man, if I put my hands there, if I touch it, I can catch it. If I touch the football, I can catch it. So for the rest of my life, when we were playing games, whatever we were doing, they say, if you can touch it, you can catch it. I'd be running a route, and the pass was out, and I'm reaching for it, boom, and I drop it. I'd be, man, that was a bad pass. And my brother would say, if you can touch it, you can catch it. What were they teaching me? To stop making excuses. To stop making excuses. That life may throw some hard pitches at you or some hard footballs, but don't make excuses. Can the excuses. Another saying that I love and I've heard for many years is this, that losers find excuses, but winners find a way. I love it. Can the excuses. Look at me in the eyes. If that bag's been on your life and you just say, I know you might have a reason. There might have been something so traumatic and so horrible in your life that was just, it was a detriment to you, but stop it. Stop making excuses. Stop it right now. Look at me. Stop it right now. Just stop making excuses. Own up for where you are in this moment. Recognize that you are not dictated by your past, that God has a brighter future for you, and then begin to move forward. Now listen, you might need some therapy. You might need a sit-down session, but start some therapy and stop crying about it. And stop going to therapy for 72 years and start working on the problem. Are you guys with me? You're so angry. You're like angry elves right now. You're so angry. But listen, can the excuses. Listen, I get it. Just acknowledge the bag that I'm carrying and move on. You know, Jesus in the scripture, God, I feel like I'm getting Pentecostal in this moment. Jesus was inviting people to a changed life. He was inviting people to a changed life. And he did it in the metaphor of a dinner party. He did it in the metaphor of a dinner party. He invited people to this dinner party. He said, come and sit at my table. Come and sit at my table. And listen to what they say in the scriptures. Luke 14, 18 through 20. Says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And the other said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excuse. Stop making excuses. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And listen, don't tell me I can't. Don't tell me I can't. I heard that so many times. I can't. Pastor Kerry, I've tried. I just can't. I just can't. Listen, that's just an excuse. No, I'm not saying that it's not difficult. But sometimes we allow the difficulty of the problem to keep that bag hanging right there. Stop telling me I can't. The scripture says this in Philippians 4:13. And I want you to read it. It's on the screen. Philippians 4:13. Right there. Can y'all read this aloud with me right now? Ready? Read. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now let's do it again. Act like you love me for a minute and read loud. Okay? Right? Here we go. Ready? Read. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So listen, unless God's a liar and he's not, you can. Can the excuse. Can the excuses. Number 2, cut the ties. Cut the ties. Cut the ties. Listen, cut the ties. You can't come here and be like, I know I need to make a change, and then go out and live the exact same way. You can't do that. Listen, I got really good at that right there. I got really good at coming into a church service as I grew up and just being, God, I'm so sorry. I'm a wretched man. I'm a sinner. I'm struggling with lust. And then I would go home and I wouldn't throw away the stack of pornographic material underneath my dresser. Or I'd come back and I'd throw away half, but not all. Or 90%, but not 10. You got to cut the ties. You have to cut the ties. Some of you need to change or shift or ditch that relationship that you've been in. And you know that you know that you know that you know that it's time to change it. And God's spoken to you subtly. And he's talked to you by somebody else. And you've been flirting with it because you're just like, well, I just don't know if I can. And it's become that bag that won't let go. And it's prohibiting you from accomplishing what God wants you to do. It's time to cut the ties. It's time to cut the ties. Some of you need to acknowledge I'm struggling with this and just say something. Man, I got to cut the ties. I got to cut the ties. Whatever it is. Maybe it's an eating problem. Maybe it's an addiction problem. Maybe it's what you do after you eat. Maybe it is lust. But you got to cut the ties. Stop thinking that you can live exactly as you're living now but not, and see change in the future. That's called insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting what? A different result. Can the excuses and cut the ties. Pastor Kerry, you're so angry right now. Yeah, I am. I'm tired of seeing Christians walk through life with one bag attached to their ankle. It's so tiny. And all I do is feel like this is the way life is going to be. And Christ has set you free for freedom's sake. And you need to know that. But hey, you got to can the excuses and you got to cut the ties. Can the excuses and cut the ties. Some of you need to get filters on your internet. You need to get filters. Listen, man, can I just tell you, I don't know what your upbringing was like, but if you're married in this room, no, let me just start from scratch. If you're in this room, pornography is not okay. I was talking to a guy, he's married, and he's a follower of Christ, and he said, well, me and my wife just don't line up with what we like in the bedroom, so pornography is my outlet. I was like, what? What? That is not your wife. That is an addiction problem. And there's nothing that could, why is it that people look at that stuff in hiding? Or cover it up and delete it on their internet? Why? Because we know it's wrong. So don't bring it into your life and think that everything's going to be okay. It's a bag. It's an addiction. And you will never see the fullness of God's plan for you as long as it's there. Now look at me in the eyes. I love everybody here. And I love everybody here. And if you're struggling, man, we will walk with you through this. Let me just let you know, I am a chief of sinners. My life is jacked up. And if it's not by the grace of God, man, I can't stand before you. But guys came around me and said, Kerry, this isn't acceptable. There's a different way to live. Man, I experienced freedom. And never forget the day I burned everything that was underneath my dresser. Yes, burned it. I didn't want to throw it away and some other kid find it. I burned it. And it was like, oh my God, this is a beginning step. Did that mean that I erased lust? Is everything burned down? No, it was still there. But it was a beginning. I cut the ties. Can the excuses cut the ties? And just laugh at me for a minute. You're okay. I love you. God's hope for you is amazing. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Your mom was a genius when she told you, I don't like that friend. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Stop sinning. Can the excuses and cut the ties. Just remember this, the enemy is waiting and watching. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion, roaming and seeking whom he may devour. Not nibble on, not snack on, not kind of like, oh, this is cute. But devour, devour. You have got to cut, tangibly cut the ties to whatever it is. Maybe it's internet poker and you're spending cash you don't have. Maybe, hey, look at me, maybe it's shopping. And you just get to the mall, I can't help myself. I just got to swipe that card. Maybe you need to take the card, cut it up, or freeze it in a block of water in the freezer so that way you got to defrost it before you use it again. Yeah, you're welcome. Dave Ramsey. Cut the ties. Cut the ties. I love the promises of the Word. Man, I'm so grateful for the Bible. I'm telling you, I say this, I am nothing without what God's doing in my life. And I love what the Scripture says. James 4, 7 and 8 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. It's kind of like, hey, if this bag is in your life, stop doing that. Resist the devil. Tell him no. He'll flee. Weird. Press into God. And the crazy thing, he'll press into you. Well, I just need to, can you tell me that in the Greek? Yes. Stop sinning, resist the devil, press into God, and he'll press. Well, can you break that down a little bit more? Seriously, think about it. Sometimes I think we enjoy having this bag a part of our life until the cost becomes too great. Look at me. Whew. Man, listen, let's not treat a symptom. Let's deal with the problem at the root. Hey, don't think that your private rebellion isn't hurting anyone else. Don't think that. Well, I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't care. You're setting a standard in your life, and one day you may be. And the Bible says that the sins are passed down to the third and fourth generation. Why do you think it is that alcoholism just runs in my family, my grandfather, my father? Sometimes that's what I struggle with. That's the enemy at work. But it doesn't have to be. You can cut the ties. Can the excuses and cut the ties. And when you cut the ties, when you remove that from your life, there's a void there. There's a void. And that's where the third thing comes in. We have to fill that void. We have to fill the void. Why? Because it's been a part of my life and I've been compensated. It's been affecting how I walk and how I relate and how I interact with people. And so now it's gone and I just, it was a part. Remember the cycle of destruction? It was a part of my identity and I was enslaved to it and my dreams had died and my hopes had died and now it's gone. And what do I do? Fill the void. Fill the void. What do I fill the void with? I'm so glad you asked. What do I fill the void with? I'll tell you about a couple things. Ephesians 5:18 says this, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And you can fill in the word wine with anything. Do not continue to look at that site on the internet. Stop spending money you don't have. Stop being addicted to this problem, whatever it might be. So it's saying like, do not be drunk with, you fill that in with whatever it is. But it said, be filled with the Spirit. So how do I fill that void? Well, the first thing is with God's Word. God's Word. You mean a book? Yes. Why? Because it's the living Word. It's the living Word. It's the only book where the author sits down next to you and leans in as you read it. When that picture became real to me, reading the Word changed for me. God's Word. We've got to be self-feeders. And look at me, you can't go a day without reading the Word, even if it's just a verse. Listen, don't bring the law in. Well, it's got to be 72 verses and one in the Old and one in the New Testament. Stop that. Just don't go a day without it being a part of your life. I mean, there's no excuses. There's an app on your phone, unless you have a flip phone, and then we'll just send you a Bible. And get a smartphone, okay? Step into the 21st century. Good gosh. And this app called YouVersion will literally give you a verse of the day, and you don't have to do anything. There are no excuses. Fill your life with God's Word. And you start with one, man, then two. And then like then you read, and all of a sudden, and everything stops, and you just, this one verse, man, it's like, what does that mean? God, would you show me what that means? It's how we understand the nature of who God is. I love Ephesians 5:26 says, you will be washed by the cleansing of God's Word. Some of you, this is the one caveat for you. You've 95%, and that 1-5% stays there, and it's because you've never made a habit of daily reading the Scripture. Start today. I will help you download the app. Delete some freaking selfies. You'll be okay. Download the app. Read God's Word. How do I fill the void? God's Word. With prayer. Number two is prayer. I just don't know how to pray, Pastor. I don't know. I hear some other people pray and I'm inspired by it. Well, God just wants you to talk to Him. Just talk to Him like you talk to anyone else. That's what I do. I'm running or I'm walking through. This morning I'm sitting over here in this corner just praying. And I just said, God, man, I feel like I'm struggling with that one bag too. I need your help. You strengthen me, God. Can I tell you a great prayer to pray? It's one that God just kind of shifted my life. I worked through the senses. God, would you help me to see people as you see them? My knuckleheaded husband, how do you see him? He's your son, your creation. My wife, my kids, my best friend, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my fiance. God, would you help me to hear like you want to hear? That I can hear hurt and pain and bring hope. God, would you help me to speak like you would want me to speak, to bring life, words of life and encouragement? God, and truthfully, sometimes I don't want to say those things, and I just need your help. God, would you help my steps, the decisions that I make today? Let it be what you want for me. The thing I put my hands to, my job, the tasks, my purpose. I want it to be what you want for me. It's just a conversation. And you know what that's like? It's like when my daughter comes to me and says, Dad, I just want to be like you. Can you help me know how to do that? Will you show me? Absolutely. I'll devote my life to it because you're my daughter. That's what prayer is. You want to fill that void? Start with prayer. God's Word. It's a game changer. Listen, you don't have to be perfect. He understands. the things you walk through. Hebrews 4 says this, the high priest of ours, which is Jesus, he understands our weakness. For he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. He understands what we walk through. Just come boldly. Can the excuses, cut the ties, fill the void with God's word and prayer. And you also need an accountability partner. You do. Can I tell you that the power of sin is in the secret? The power of sin is in the secret. If you think that you're going to be able to make it through life and you're the only one that knows that secret bag, you're wrong. You need somebody. It may only be one, but just somebody that knows the problems. We call it a silver bullet. What's the one thing that can take you out? And how can I watch for signs when you're struggling? Not so I can tell everybody about it, but so you know, I got your back. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. That's why we have connect groups here. You just missed a semester. There's a new one starting up in just a couple months. Get to one or lead one. Don't can the excuses. Get to one. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like it. Sitting down with somebody saying, okay, I'm going to be real with you. This is my struggle. I need help. Why? Because I'm tired of that bag. I'm tired of that bag. You know what the Bible says? We find mercy when we confess our sins. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You may have had a bad experience with sharing some stuff. Maybe you need to listen to last week's message on relational baggage. But find an accountability partner. Listen, can I just tell you that the greatest life change, I'm going so long today. Maybe some of you need to stick around and help us tear down. Can I just tell you, this is kind of a shot to my ego, but do you know that the greatest life change will never happen here? Never. The greatest life change always happens within the context of relationships. Always. Can I tell you that I have this one memory I think of all the time when I think about relationships. Gosh, I'm going so long. I was in seventh grade or somewhere in that neighborhood, and my church was doing a choir trip to Hawaii. That's a no-brainer. I don't care about singing. I don't like choirs, but I'm going to Hawaii, so yes. And so I sign up, and I'm like, just tell me how to make this thing work. It was a play, you know, I'm living on the edge, feeling like a new creation. I mean, that was it. You're welcome. And I can't tell you what I remember about that whole experience. Randy Angel. So silly, but it's made such a difference. He came to my house every Sunday, and he picked me up. We got donuts and went to church to make it to choir practice. Do you know that guy is still one of my greatest friends today? He's a few years older. Was there in some of our darkest hours. I don't remember 90% of the trip except for the fact that we were on a beach in Hawaii at some point. But I remember the relationship that I had. That I still have to this day. Who do you have in your life like that? And not just any friend, but not the friends can be like, just do what you want to do or drop that. You know, listen, the right kind of friend. Who's pursuing Christ with their life too. Life change happens within the context of relationships. The fourth thing, how do I fill that void? It's with ministry. With ministry. To stop just focusing on the inside, but to actually do something with the gifts and the talents and the strengths that I have. You don't believe me, that's fine. Romans 12:21 says this, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing what? Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. You see, when we take our ordinary lives with the bags that we struggle with, and we actually apply and say, I'm going to do something good for someone else, our bags become inconsequential. Our bags become a huge distraction that's weighing us down from helping someone else's life. When I am able to stop focusing just on my problem, I'm filling the void by saying, God, you do something real and powerful in my life, but I'm going to make my life count by helping that person over there. Then this thing becomes not even important at all. You want to know how to fill the void? Jump into ministry. Jump onto the dream team somewhere. Shake a hand. Brew some coffee. Park a car. Set up a church building. Man, it doesn't matter. Fold a bulletin. It doesn't matter what it is, but do something that takes your eyes off of yourself and says, I'm going to make my life count for something as I work to get rid of this stinking piece of baggage. I'm telling you, you watch what God does in your life. You watch what he does in the process. And that bag will become more of a weight and a distraction than you ever thought possible. Can the excuses, cut the ties, and fill the void. You don't have to live with that piece of baggage anymore. Anymore. You were created to be free. So let's live as free individuals. Amen. Hey, let me talk for 30 seconds to those of you who are here today, and you may be wavering in your faith. And you hear me talk about this and you say, I want to experience that freedom. But can I tell you that freedom cannot start until you have a relationship with Jesus. And you might feel like there is a gap or a separation. I can't seem to bridge that gap and get there. And you know what? The Bible actually says that gap is real. The Bible calls that gap a sin gap. And it is a deficit, a crevice, a canyon that separates us from God doing a work of freedom in our life. And there's a consequence to that gap, which is death and an eternity in hell. The Bible offers a radical solution. If you've been here before, you've heard me tell it a million times, and I'll tell you to tell it a million more. God sent Jesus to die on the cross and pay the ransom of your sin and mine. To close that gap. Not so life can be perfect, but so that I can experience freedom. You don't have to be perfect to close that gap. You don't have to have fixed all your problems. You don't have to know enough about the Bible. You don't have to have been in church your whole life to experience that freedom. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want to be yours. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And right where you're seated, in your own heart, you can whisper a prayer to God. And he'll close that gap and a life of freedom can begin for you. Some of you today, you've never made that declaration. Today's the day for you. We're not going to embarrass you, have you get out of your seat. Some of you have been sitting in this chair. You may think that you're a Christian, but you've not been living a life like that. It's time to run back to God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around. If you're here and you need to pray that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Just say, Dear God, I know that you're real. I know that you love me. I've got some sin in my life. Some bags that won't let go. Would you forgive me? Would you forgive me, God? Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price and the ransom for my sin. All around this room, I want you to say this phrase. Just say this. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theoclutheran.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.